Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wicked Green Energy with your host, Roxanne Pappas. Roxanne is fighting to bring our troops home from the Middle East and reduce our country's dependence on fossil fuels. As an associate with Viridian Energy, she can provide domestic sources of solar, wind, and water right now to your home or business. On this show, she and her guests explore other cutting-edge ways we can reduce our carbon footprint and preserve vital resources across the globe. Here is your host, Roxanne Pappas.
Hi, everyone. This is the Wicked Green Energy Lady coming to you from gorgeous Cape Cod, Massachusetts. A little chilly out there today, but I do believe we've rounded the corner and we're expecting some nice weather down the road. People who own cottages are heading down here to open them up for the summer, so the activity is increasing here on the Cape, and soon we'll have tons of people around here enjoying the beautiful scenery that we have. Okay, today I want to talk about the Clean Power Plan. I don't know if a lot of people know about this. If you go onto the EPA site, and I advise you to do that because it's got a whole lot of information about the Clean Power Act and how we can participate in it and help the environment. I want to do an overview of it and then go into some other details in a minute or so. But the key is a piece of the Clean Power Plan is reducing the carbon dioxide emissions by 32% from our 05 levels by 2030. So the magic year is 2030, and I can't believe it's only 14 years away. So this is they're working at this very diligently. In addition to that, what the Clean Power Plan calling it a plant, wants to do is chart a path to 30% more renewable energy for, again, 2030. And that means expanding the clean energy economy. And that includes things like setting new standards for the fuel that heavy-duty vehicles use, and that is scheduled to begin after 2018. And it will also support the local and state policies that cut energy waste and reduce the federal government's own greenhouse gas emissions by 28% 2020. Now, there are a lot of things going on this, and sometimes it appears to be a little overwhelming, but these are things that need to be done. The U.S. is the second biggest carbon emitter in the world. China is first, and I know that I've mentioned this in the past. What we want to do here is lead the way for all other countries to follow suit and try to eliminate the carbon emissions. And as you all know, the carbon emissions that we breathe every day is contributing to our health problems, our environment problems, our economy, you name it, it's affecting it. And though it's something that you don't see in the background, it does affect it, and I hope that everyone takes a little bit of time to look into information about the carbon emissions and what it can and cannot do. So the Obama wants to build a momentum for global action against climate change. And he's going to do that by offering more financing for renewable energy options overseas and global free trade for clean energy technology. What I'm doing right now here is I'm giving you the overview of the Clean Power Plan. As you may guess, there's controversy surrounding everything. We've got the pros and the cons and this, that, and the other thing, and I'll touch upon what those things are down the road. But I want to set the pace here with what it is and what it's going to do. One of the things, the low-income individuals here in the United States are the ones that are going, that are most affected by the carbon emissions, or rather by climate change, I should say. They don't have the resources, the wherewithal in order to be able to do something for themselves. They don't have access to health insurance, although they're supposed to, and a number of other things. So Clean Power Plan is also going to help the low-income communities. The plan also includes an analysis of the successes that we've already achieved, as well as the new opportunities for change in each state. We've got, for an example, we've got Maryland. It praises organizations like the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. And I can imagine what they're doing here with this, with a plan, is they want to give a shout out to those organizations or people or companies or states and towns that are doing something to promote the elimination of carbon emissions. This is important because people need to see that it can be done, and there are others doing it. Okay. The plan is set out so that the states can determine what they're going to do within each individual state on how to, in order to obtain the final goal for 2030. I was reading this and it gets a little confusing. The states can determine what it is that they must do in order to reach the goals for 2030, as I just said. And it can be anything from giving incentives for renewable energy, creating new jobs, because a lot of people feel that if the power plants and the coal plants are closed down, we're going to have a high unemployment. Well, that's not the case because we have a ton of jobs out there in the renewable energy department. So, some states are grumbling because they're either coal producing or they feel that the feds are infringing upon the states' rights, and so that we're always going to have that issue. But I do believe that the Clean Power Plan has eliminated most of those objections. Now, there are critics, and they think that who think that the Clean Power Plan is going to harm the economy, and it's going to, it's really not going to do anything for us. It's just a drop in the bucket, as they say, and that the climate change is only going to be very, very small in conjunction and in comparison to what types of emissions we're going to avoid. But ultimately, it comes down to the health of the planet, and obviously the health of each individual here on the planet. So there, we've got some hurdles. One of them is legal, and I'll talk to you about that because some states are already suing. Now, what Obama is saying about this is that the plan is "quote unquote" realistic and achievable, but still ambitious, and that is true. It is an ambitious process to go through in 14 years, but we need to work together on it, and I believe by working together, because states can converse with amongst themselves about one state, what one state is doing, what the other one's doing, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Ultimately, the Clean Power Plan makes sure that the fossil fuel-fired power plants are going to operate more cleanly and efficiently, while heading towards the capacity for zero and low emitting power sources. Now, as an aside here, fossil fuels are the largest source of carbon dioxide emissions. The fossil fuel plants use natural gas, petroleum, coal, and any form of solid, liquid, or gaseous fuel to make electricity. And given that, I'm going to be coming around with some statistics here. As I mentioned, the power plants are the single largest source of carbon pollution. And the way my little pie graph here tells me is that the emissions or the pollutions is made up of 82% carbon dioxide, 3% fluorinated gases, 5% nitrous oxide, and 10% methane. And those are used to make 31% of the electricity is produced by these four gases. Transportation, 27%, uses these gases and emit the carbon the carbon dioxide. So it's quite overwhelming. Okay, so that's what the Clean Power Plan is. Now, why do we need it? And we all know why we need it. We've mentioned the carbon emissions. Of course, it threatens Americans' health and their welfare by leading to long-lasting changes in our climate, and it can have a negative effect on human health and the environment. I don't think anyone will doubt that climate change is one of the greatest environmental and public health challenges we face. There are so many videos out there by the movie stars, Morgan Freeman and Julia Roberts and Harrison Ford are all talking about this. Leonardo DiCaprio is giving millions of dollars to the Seychelles Islands, because they have no way of becoming energy efficient. So he's pouring money into the Seychelles. Everybody is looking at what we can do, because it is such a slippery slope that we're on. The best scientists out there are saying that our activities are without a doubt causing climate change. And climate change, we've already seen it. 2014, according to the statistics, is one of the warmest years that we've had in the first 15 years of this century. That's scary. But we've seen the droughts and all the horrible storms and between tornadoes and hurricanes and what have you. I never saw this 30 years ago. So it's due to something. And the most vulnerable in all of this are the kids, as you might imagine. Older adults are seniors, those who have heart and lung disease, and people living in poverty, as I mentioned before. Okay, so how they're going to implement this Clean Power Plan, and this is where I think a lot of people are having a little problem with it. What the EPA wants to do is create a partnership between themselves, the states, the U.S. territories, tribes on the reservations, and they want to establish that partnership so that we all can work together as one for this primary goal. Now that tells me, that reminds me of JFK back in the day when he said, "Ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." It's all about all of us working together. So, the EPA is going to have a range of choices available to the states to implement the standards, and to the utility companies in order to meet them. The states are supposed to develop and implement plans that ensure that the power plants in their state are tailored to meet their respective energy, environmental, and economic needs and goals by either shutting them down or replacing them and going to clean or renewable energy resources. The states are supposed to submit a final plan by this September. And then the complete plans have to be submitted by 2018. So it's, as we're talking, we need to roll along here. And I know that some states are not even looking at doing this or trying to do anything about it. They think it'll probably just go away on its own. They want to be sure that the states involve the communities because obviously they're going to be the recipients of the clean energy economy, including energy efficiency, saving money, the renewable energy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there is some issues out there that are some individuals who say that our electric bill is going to go up because of all these changes. And I'm going to touch upon them in just a second, as soon as we have our commercial here. But one particular magazine called The Daily Beast, and I love this, says, your electric bill will be reduced if state leaders are smart. And that is the operative word, is it not? It's, are they smart? And hold on, I'm going to go to commercial and be right back.
Hey, Jenna, have you seen the TV show Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod on Channel 99?
OMG, I love that show. It's with Kathleen O'Keefe Canavan. She's an international best-selling author, and Lori Boyle, the CEO of Lori Boyle Media.
Right. They're hosting a personal development seminar, Retreat for the Soul. It's about your dreams, meditation, healing, and the subconscious mind.
Ooh.
It sounds fun.
And rejuvenating. Let's go. Where do we sign up?
Their website, wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com.
Did you know that you can use your own radio show to promote your business and become a celebrity in your area or industry? Do you have a great idea for a radio show or a passion that you would like to share with other like-minded people? The Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod radio and TV hosts Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle will show you how. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com. Do you have a great story to tell or do you want to write your memoir? Best-selling author Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle, CEO of Lori Boyle Media, are the hosts of the Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod TV and radio shows. Join their Writer's Workshop Intensive to get writing and get published. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com.
And we're back, and this is the Wicked Green Energy Lady talking about the Clean Power Plan that should be implemented by 2030. I want to go through some statistics here for you because I think it drives the point home. So by 2030, the plan will reduce carbon emissions from power plants, as I mentioned before, by 32% below the 05 levels. That equals to 870 million tons of carbon emissions. And I'm going to come back to that because I want to segue into something else here. So the 870 million tons of carbon emissions equals to the annual emissions from 166 million cars, or powering 95% of the homes in America. So let's see, what else have we got? We've got more statistics here. It means that we'll have up to 3,600 fewer premature deaths, up to 90,000 fewer asthma attacks for kids, this is annually, up to 1.4 million fewer days when people must limit their activities, up to 300,000 fewer missed school and work days, up to 62,000 fewer cases of respiratory symptoms for kids. All that equates into money saved. If anybody thinks that that's not the case, then they need to look at the economics of these savings. All of this. Oh, and the public health and climate benefits of acting on the climate add up to almost $54 billion saved in just 2030. That's what they're projecting. Under the Clean Power Plan, utility scale talk about this utility scale. Remember that solar and wind capacity is projected to double by 2030 compared to 2013 levels. That's an increase in 300% in wind power since 08 and a 2,000% increase in solar power since 08. So those of you who don't really believe in solar energy, any of that stuff, I think you better do a little bit more studying. Now, what I wanted to segue into is what Viridian has accomplished. Viridian Energy, as you all know, I'm an associate with Viridian Energy, and we are out there helping reduce the carbon emissions. Now, I mentioned that the plan will eliminate 870 million tons. Well, since Viridian Energy's inception, which was in the latter part of 2009 until today, our customers, which are about 300,000 customers in 18 markets, have eliminated over 7 billion pounds carbon emissions. I shouldn't say till today. That's through 2015. Sorry about that. It's much higher now. And we did this in a very simple way. It didn't cost us a dime. All you do in those deregulated markets is you choose Viridian Energy as your supplier through your utility company, and you will get a minimum of 50% green, and that's going to eliminate, as I said here, over the next 4 or 5 years, another 7 billion pounds. This is significant for doing something very simple. It takes you 5 minutes. You go, you look at your bill. You go onto my Viridian site. You can calculate what you're using, how much carbon emissions you can eliminate, and there are three or four plans there for you to choose from that based on your preference. So this is really something to keep in the back of your mind, and let me know if you're interested. You can email me, roxanne@roxannepappas.com or rpappas7@gmail.com, and I can do an analysis for you. Okay, back to the power plan. All right, now, I've only got about 7 minutes, so I don't really want to get into something that's going to be too lengthy here. So I'll touch upon a few things here. As you might guess, we've got the pros and cons. The cons are sitting there telling us that this is going to affect the poorest families. It's going to increase their electric bill. And they're coming up with this reasoning, and it omits anything that has to do with renewable energy. So that one of their reasons that the Clean Power Plan isn't needed is that the shale revolution drives the energy-intensive industries here in the U.S. And by accepting the Clean Power Plan, it would drive these industries away. Okay? All right. I'm just reading. I'm just telling you. I'm not agreeing with anything. There are going to be huge manufacturing job losses by the districts in Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, and Illinois. And that's because of the coal. But nobody's mentioning anything about how the climate is being harmed, and that there are ways for the people, or for the manufacturing, for the job losses, because the renewable energy is going to have jobs. So I don't know what the – I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. Anyway. Okay, this is what I mentioned before. If the U.S. cuts the carbon emissions by 100%, it's only going to decrease the warming by 0.137 degrees Celsius by 2100, by the next century. I haven't seen those figures yet. I've got to look into them. I don't know if that, in fact, is true. But even if it is only that much, just look at what's going to do for us, for our health and our environment. If it does nothing for global warming, it will help us in other areas. This is a good one. Because we've had so much carbon emissions in our lives, we have lower climate sensitivity, or rather, we're not as sensitive to carbon emissions because we've been living with them for so long that we've become used to them. Okay, I'm leaving that alone. Oh, they're talking about 1 million jobs that we're going to lose, which would equate to a loss of more than $2.5 trillion in the GDP and a total income loss of more than $7,000 per person. And then they go back to the fact that the carbon-emitting fuels, such as coal, oil, and natural gas, provided 87% of Americans' energy needs in the past decade and is the overwhelming supplier for over a century. Yes, that's true. And during the Industrial Revolution, access to energy was a critical catalyst to improved health, comfort, progress, ingenuity, and prosperity. Yes, absolutely. We've come a long way from the Industrial Revolution. There are far more cars on the road. There are far fewer trees out there that can absorb the carbon emissions. There are so many other issues that that creates those carbon emissions that we can't make the comparison back to the Industrial Revolution. And again, if we're using coal, oil, and natural gas, and it meets our needs, but what is it doing for our health? And I'm going to be a harpy on that one. They keep talking about threats to the economy, the quality of life, the reliability of the national power grid. And here's what I mentioned before. The constitutional separation of powers always comes down to that, the states. Now, what I also want to say is they talk about the fact that our gas industry, we're going to lose that. But people are going to lose jobs for those manufacturing companies who are looking for gas because we have plenty of it here. Very true. But no one, not one person, talks about the dangers of fracking because fracking disturbs the ground and potentially causes earthquakes, causes sinkholes, causes you name it. The earth cannot handle so much fracking that's being done. And I've been given my 90-second timer here, so I'm not going to be able to finish up with what I was saying. That means I'm going to come back next week and talk about the pros and the cons, the opponents and proponents, and how the Clean Air Act has something to do with a clean power plan. So stay tuned for next week. I will do that. I'll be putting out blogs, which will discuss everything I just did. And thank you for joining me. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you, seeing you, or answering some questions for you next time, next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Wicked Green Energy. You may get in touch with Roxanne through her Facebook page, Living It Up Green, or her email, rpappas7@gmail.com. That's rpappas7@gmail.com. Join her every Monday night from 6 to 6:30 Eastern Time, right here on the Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod Radio Network. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.